the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of this podcast, Under the Bodhi Tree. Thank you guys for being here. It has been a minute. I am settling into a beautiful course and festival center in Sweden called Kungsbacka. Super beautiful, amazing place. Where I spent multiple summers. They have a bunch of festivals during the summer, ranging from yoga to meditation festivals to tantra and sexability festival. These kind of like explorative love and sexuality festivals. And during the wintertime, they have like a course season, they call it, which is like a working community, a community that stays here to keep the lights on and run the course season. So there's about 40 or 50 people that stay here during the winter time, and it's a cozy little community. And I am right now part of that community. And we're starting to create the summer. We're starting to like build the program for the summer, and things are happening here. It feels really exciting as spring is coming to Sweden. And that was me giving them a plug, not because they're sponsoring me, but ultimately they are sponsoring me. Because I work here and they let me live here. So that's pretty cool. So within that, I actually have a room that I can record things. I bought some fancy new mics. So hopefully this will be good. And let's see if I keep recording. But something came today and I want to share it. So let's talk about self-pleasure. That's what I want to get into today. And there's multiple reasons why. One is because I think it's a really important topic to bring forward to our planet, like the emergence of like deep self-pleasure and what that looks like and how do we bring it into our culture in an enthusiastic way. And that's actually been like a topic on my life agenda for the last couple of years, which is, there's like a couple topics here. One is moving from masturbation to self-pleasure. And the way I would define, like what I mean by that is moving from a like a linear or goal-oriented pleasure session to a non-linear, like enjoy the journey experience, which could or could not end in like ejaculation at the end. So I'm just gonna go, and we'll see where this unweaves itself, unwinds itself. So a couple of years ago, ultimately for most of my life, I've been quite curious about Tantra, which is kind of like the most popularized or most westernized, like Eastern practice that includes sexuality as part of the spiritual practice. We'll call it like that. Tantra is a very wide spiritual life, like a way to live life. In deep harmony with everything, and it includes and incorporates sexuality within that view. It's how to live life in a way that interweaves with everything, that brings oneness to the human being in accordance to everything or in relation to everything. And that's always been quite interesting for me. And the sexual aspect of Tantra is no different. It's actually like using sexuality as a practice to connect very, very deeply with like oneness, we'll say it like that. And there are a lot of practices in the sexuality part of Tantra around moving energy in your body, starting to feel pleasure in breath and in other ways other than having an orgasm or in like ejaculative orgasm. And while I started reading these books a couple of years ago and kind of touching the topics of Tantra, then I started finding Taoist sexual practices that also within Taoism there's sexual practices. And then I found Egyptian sexual practices. I think I've done a podcast on these. You can find it somewhere else. I'll have to find out where that is. Anyway, I got super into all of these sexual practices and I started reading books that were exploring the idea that, at least for a man, let's say, for a male body, ejaculation and orgasm are not the same thing. And this kind of blew my mind. I was like, what? And that, like, the ejaculative orgasm is one type of orgasm. I'd always heard that females could have different types of orgasms, so I never thought that male bodies were the same. And this really opened up an inquiry in the last years of, like, okay, well, maybe I need to redefine orgasm and explore different ways of pleasure that my body can have that isn't just this kind of goal-oriented ejaculation. And that's part of the journey that I've been on. So recently, in the last couple months, I mean, in the last couple of years, I've been moving back and forth from, like, my patterns of just kind of wanting to masturbate, to these kind of, like, really beautiful self-pleasure, like, it really feels like a ceremony, which might be, like, turning on really nice music, and, like, massaging my body, massaging different parts of my body, and moving more intuitively, where my entire body might be moving, I might be in multiple or different positions, rather than just, like, laying on my back, putting oil on my genitals, and, like, a genital-focused session. So a couple things have happened within this. I've been moving back and forth for multiple reasons. One, because ejaculating feels really nice and I enjoy it. And what I've noticed is in the, let's say, the attempt to step away from that kind of ejaculation, I noticed that shame has come up around ejaculation. Like, oh, all of a sudden that's not okay. So I realized this was kind of one of the traps I fell into. So I've been actually really allowing myself to enjoy any type of pleasure that my body is wanting in the moment. And really enjoying that and being fully there with it. And at the same time, I've also noticed that as I've been stepping out of this kind of, like, straightforward ejaculation experience, sounds pretty good, eh? That I've been experiencing lots of different ways of euphoria, of pleasure, of joy in my body. And sometimes, like, it feels like joy in my body rather than release from my genitals. Maybe this is kind of an experience that I'm feeling, the difference. And I want to, like, I am always kind of wanting to go deeper and deeper and deeper and more, explore wider and really research within my own body, within my own experience, what's happening for me. And what is the benefit of one versus the other? Why would I choose one versus the other at any given point if I'm wanting to choose consciously? So within this, I created a course for myself. I basically created, I was like, okay, for the next 12 days, the next 15 days, I'm going to try something where every day I do a self-pleasure session, with different, like, limitations or different invitations for myself. And I really like this. So I also created a course. And this course you can find down below. It's a free course. And I figured if I am in this exploration, it probably means that other people are too. And why not create something that could support us all? So the idea is this course that I created was kind of like a self-pleasure exploration, new way of orienting towards self-pleasure course, a new way of thinking about the thing that I've done my whole life in a certain way. And there's all sorts of different things where it's like invitations where it's like, okay, for this session, not using your hands. Or for this session, wait 10 minutes before you touch your genitals. Or for this session, try as many different positions as you can. And bring more play. And bring more fun and bring more newness to it. Because I noticed what happened, for example, when I even, like, stopped watching pornography, and within that I, like, stopped being more goal-oriented, I noticed there's a long period of time where I couldn't get an erection. Like, without pornography, I'd been so dependent on, like, an external stimulus kind of creating my arousal for me that it took me actually, like, probably years to, like, really, really stably be able to, like, step back into a deep contact with the energy in my body. That my eroticism now comes from within rather than from outside. And this has been a huge process with a lot of, like, I want to say effort, it's both effort, but also just intention of moving in that direction. Where I'm not trying to get something from my body, but I'm trying to share love with my body. And this is a totally different experience. It means that I'm also not always aroused in the same way that I was, but Eros is still moving through my body. Sexual energy, life force energy is still moving through my body, even if it's not, again, generally focused. So I basically, I made this course for myself that I'm sharing with you guys, whoever's listening, whoever's interested in this journey of like, what does it look like to bring pleasure to my whole body rather than focus in one place? And this has been, I mean, like so much has happened. It's been so fascinating, whether it's like sometimes I'll have psychedelic images. I feel so much like being revitalized afterwards rather than sometimes depleted in my generally focused orgasm. My GEF, my Jeff. No, it's generally focused orgasm. GFO. So I have like GFO and then I have like my body orgasm, my BO. My bow. And they really are two different worlds. And they are two different worlds that are both valuable in different situations and applicable in different situations. And maybe the difference, like in one word, would be release versus expansion. Relief versus revitalizing. So there were some really fascinating things that I've noticed are like my pillars for moving from one to the other, from starting to kind of expand my self-pleasure practice. And one of them is breaks, taking pauses. The other one is setting a timer for myself. So actually having kind of a clear ending that isn't an ejaculative orgasm, because otherwise that was the only thing. Like it's like I would just go until then. I would almost never stop before because my goal was to ejaculate at the end. And so it's like I kind of just went until that happened. And now it's I'll set myself a 30-minute timer or an hour timer or a 10-minute timer. It doesn't even matter. But I'm bathing in 10 minutes or 30 minutes of self-pleasure. And the way that can look is either that there's a shavasana at the end, that I'm just resting for 10 minutes at the end for my body to really integrate and digest the pleasure that was brought forward or like awoken during the session. Or something that I'm liking honestly even more is having every 5 minutes a 1 minute pause. And what I've noticed happens when I pause, there's almost like a stair step effect. So previously, if I was goal oriented, I'm going to the top of the mountain and then the release, I go back down. So it's like I'm walking up, 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 and there's a certain point. Sometimes we call it the point of no return. Honestly, even before then, there's this kind of edge that I hit where it's like I don't want to stop. I want to keep going and I want to release. Because the energy builds, the energy builds, the energy builds, and it's almost like too much that I want to release it. But what I've been practicing is with pausing during. It almost will give me like spaciousness in between for me to kind of land a little bit and then move back up and then land a little bit and integrate as I'm going. It's like taking a little bite-sized pleasure that I can actually integrate in my body, and then all of a sudden there isn't this need or this wave that carries me away. And sometimes this happens. I'm imagining we've all felt it where it's like, oh, this feels so good. I don't want to stop. Versus these like bubbles of pleasure that are popping, and we kind of experience them, and then we come again, and then experience them, and then we rise again. And this is a huge, wonderful opportunity for pausing every couple minutes, every two songs. I start creating playlists with 1 minute pauses in them. And this, it's a wonderful experience. And the truth is like, what I noticed when I would want in like a BFO or GFO, a generally focused orgasm. It's like I was looking for the feeling of the release. But the irony is, in that wanting this feeling, I was missing how much pleasure was along the way. There was so much pleasure along the way that I wasn't really taking time for. And in this BO experience, in this body orgasm experience, when I pause every 5 minutes, I actually am taking a moment to feel the pleasure that I'm generating. Like to actively be like, whoa, there is so much happening in my body right now. And it actually gives space for the pleasure to move into different parts of my body. It's like I can actually digest it. Now, there are many theories about what happens in what this process really is from like the tantric or the Taoist perspectives, in that it's like we're literally, they would call it like charging your energy body with pleasure. And the idea is within these systems is there's two bodies. There's even more in different perspectives, but we'll talk about two different bodies. You have your like physical body, your material body, and you have your energetic body. And one of the ways to charge the energetic body is to bring pleasure to it. So the idea is once there is enough pleasure and it's like you're turning up the volume of your energetic body, eventually you will be able to feel your energetic body maybe even louder or at the same amount you're able to feel. And when I say feel, I mean like actually like experience your physical body. So all of a sudden your physical body and your energetic body are like kind of like sensating, like they have sensations at the same like volume. And what will happen over time is there will be a shift of orientation. And what that looks like is at an experiential level, oh, I thought I was my physical body, but actually I'm my energetic body. Like, whoa, there's something else in here, and maybe I'm that. And in the awakening to me being not what I thought I was, there's a new orientation point. They call this like moving towards, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like when you stop reincarnating, toward being immortal. Because immortality isn't from this perspective. Immortality is not the living forever of the material body, but it is the recognition that you aren't the material body, so that when the material body passes, that you are still there because you have shifted in identification. Now, this is pretty epic. Like, this is a pretty epic concept, and it is for some people like too far out. They're like, okay, whoa, I don't even, this is a lot of, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And so from the Taoist perspective, in some of their very beautiful books, Mantak Chia has a couple different books, Healing Love Through the Tao, where he brings it even simpler. He's like, look, all this stuff may be true, but and it may not be true. You might believe it, you might not. But in a very simple level, this energy, the sexual energy, life force energy, the same energy that creates a child, a human, has the ability to be deeply healing for our organs and for our body. And the more we can spread this energy out, or along the midline of our body is the way that the Taoist practices teaches, in a certain channel, energetic channel in our body, that we can actually circulate this life force energy. Now, when you think about it actually kind of makes sense. It's like, wow, if my semen is a man or my eggs as a woman are creating a human, that's pretty powerful energy. If it can like create the design for a human being and develop that human being. So instead of bringing that outwards, what happens if I circulate it inwards? And there seem to be many, many wonderful benefits that you can totally read about. So having said all this, there are many different reasons to step into a self-pleasure practice versus, let's say, a masturbation practice. To bring awareness into your body through pleasure. It's a wonderful meditation. So having said all this, it's like, whoa, well, what comes up? Why isn't everybody doing this? And I want to talk about like some of like the roadblocks of the shame that I've kind of like come across in this process. And one of them is that like no one ever taught me this. That's like the first one. A couple years ago, I went to a workshop on how to teach your kids about sexuality. And I realized that even though my parents had a really great relationship to education and sexuality with my sister and I, one thing that was missed was self-pleasure and masturbation, we didn't really talk about it as a family. And because it wasn't spoken about, there was like an unconscious kind of knowing that it was not okay. It was something that I had to hide. Now it's like anything that I'm hiding, I don't really have the spaciousness to explore because at least how I felt, I was too busy hiding it. I was afraid someone would knock on my door and open the door. I was afraid I'd get caught, and I was so busy with that I actually couldn't really be there and experience it and explore it and see what the benefits were and research it. I find this like in a very similar parallel to like psychedelics being illegal, really difficult to research. And the second they're starting to be decriminalized, they're starting to open, you know, universities up to be able to truly research the potential. And I feel like this is a very similar shift for me in my experience, that almost like me being ashamed was like me making it illegal or feeling like it was illegal. So I had to hide it. So I couldn't relax and explore. So there's I noticed throughout my life there's a lot of shame around this, and it didn't in some ways feel like my shame. It felt like I was carrying shame from the collective. And so I remember I give this example even in the course, like my roommate and I would talk about self pleasure. We talk about masturbating and make jokes about it, but I noticed even I would still go to my room when we were living together, and I wouldn't say, hey, I'm going to go masturbate. This was still really edgy for me and felt like really vulnerable. And so at one point I brought it up and I was like, hey, I actually like want to start sharing about this because I want to let go of the taboo. I want to let go of my own shame that I might be carrying. And so we would just say like, hey man, I'm going to go masturbate for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'll be out in a bit. And what I noticed would happen, I felt so much more relief when I was in the room. I didn't have to be quiet anymore. I could be more relaxed in my body because I wasn't afraid that someone might walk in or might need something from me that I would immediately have to get under the sheets or hide or whatever. The next layer of this was like I had partners throughout, you know, throughout my life, and even being open to like my partner being in the room, asking them, hey, can you still be in the room while I'm pleasuring myself and just be doing something else, reading a book, whatever. Like really wanting to like take away this taboo. And then eventually going to different workshops, festivals, holding spaces for people to have collaborative, and when I say collaborative, I mean like co-self-pleasure ceremonies where everybody's in the same room pleasuring themselves with themselves. And what I experienced here was just such a naturalness. It felt so natural and so loving to be in a room of people giving love to their bodies. It's like magical. And there was something in me that was just like, how is it possible that our families aren't doing this together? How is it possible that our communities aren't doing this together? Which is funny because I know I understand what I said out loud. If I were to step into another perspective and be like, whoa, that's super like whatever. Like families doing this together, that is disgusting. That's terrible. I can hear that voice. And at the same time, my actual experience when I was in a room of people and we were all like, there was beautiful music playing and there was someone guiding the experience and creating a ceremony out of it. And at the very end, we got into a big circle and everybody's face is just radiant and smiling and everyone's naked and laughing. And it felt like family. It felt like home, like it felt like being home. One of the most natural things, one of the most innocent things that has turned into something almost like demonic in the shadows. And I realized there was this huge realization that the biggest shift from, let's say, self-pleasure to masturbation was like a feeling of giving versus taking, or sharing versus taking. What does it look like if I share love with my body versus I take pleasure from it? And this is what it felt like. Like it felt like in some ways masturbation was almost like raping my body. Now sometimes it was consensual and sometimes it wasn't. Like my body actually didn't want that, but I wanted it. My mind wanted it, whatever. And I wanted to feel pleasure from my body, which again, it's not, it's, this is a totally okay. But I noticed that when I really collaborate with my body, I'm so much softer. I mean, I'm so much many different things, more creative, having more fun, going really deep into like into meditation. Then all of a sudden it's, I'm my lover, rather than my body is some is an organ of pleasure. So if this was interesting for you or brought up some curiosities, then check out the course. I'll put it below. And it's basically, I think it's 10 or 12 days of just giving invitations for frames that you can experience self-pleasure. I made a couple of playlists. You can use your own playlist. Like there's, it's, there's a lot of freedom in the course, but enough structure to give inspiration to different ways that you might want to explore your body in a way that you maybe never have. So the invitation is here. You are welcome. Your self-pleasure practice is welcome. Your masturbation practice is welcome. And this is like both for the course, but also just in life. Like if nobody has ever given you the permission to touch yourself and to enjoy the pleasure that your body has to offer, then like I'm officially saying that it is not only okay, but it is celebrated. That this is something to celebrate. The stronger my self-practice, my self-pleasure practice is, the less dependent I am on for other people for pleasure. The less I'm guilting people and trying to coerce them or manipulate them into connecting with me sexually because I am more stable in my own practice. And literally, my pleasure and love emanates from myself rather than looking for this outside. I'm so passionate about this. It's actually, yeah, it's really beautiful. I'm appreciating this. So thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention and your ears, your presence. Check out the course if you want. If not, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day wherever you're listening from. And give your body a squeeze somewhere, you know, just to be like, hey, I love you. Like, we're teammates this lifetime. And I want to do my best to honor that, to really acknowledge that. How much we have to give each other if we're on the same team. I'm going to take three deep breaths. Feel free to join me if you'd like. All right, you can turn it off for right now. Thank you guys for listening. I'll catch you next time on the podcast.
See you next time.